I've been, you know what I've been preaching on, growing in grace. God has given us characteristics of growth levels, you could say, newborns in a certain behavior and attitude. A child of God has a certain behavior and attitude. Young men and then spiritual adults. The Bible kind of teaches those things to us. Paul really lays it out. If you study the New Testament and what Paul was actually trying to do, he was trying to get the church onto spiritual maturity. But I think the church has gotten waylaid along the way where they've forgotten some of the things that he is teaching. And, you know, the church as a whole, I think, and has not moved on to spiritual maturity. There are some saints that have, but the Bible gives us specific things. Paul talks about specific things that at these levels of growth you should have. If you are going to be a spiritual adult, and a Christian spiritual adult, then you should be doing some of these things that he speaks of. If you're going to be, if you're at the young man stage or the young adult stage, then you should be doing some of these things. And he lists them out, and what I've done is I've put them all together, and I've been ministering and preaching to them and ministering to you guys. We already been through the newborn. We're in still the child of God stage because it has some very powerful things that I think shifts us out of the world into the place where God wants us to be. It talks about the kingdom of God, how the children seek the kingdom, how the kingdom is one thing that Jesus preached on and said, hey, it's at hand. But we know that the kingdom is at hand because he's in us, right? We're in that kingdom, and wherever we go, the kingdom should go. And whatever benefits, whatever fruit, whatever's happening in the kingdom should be happening around us because we are children of that kingdom, children of God and the kingdom. We talked about the kingdom of God, and it's very specific. You know, sometimes it can get a hold of you, and you can go, man, should those things? I want us to get in the mindset of, I want to grow, and I want to grow up like God wants me to. I don't want to grow too fast. I don't want to grow too slow. I want to grow in the speed that he desires for me, how he's teaching me. I want to go in that level, and whatever level you are. And there's no shame at any level. If you're still a newborn babe in Christ, there's no shame in where you are and where God is taking you, because we know he is moving us onward to the next levels. Amen. I've ministered to you my foundational scriptures many times, Ephesians, 1st, 2nd Peter. Is it 1st or 2nd Peter? We all should know it, what it is, right? And yet, I still can't get it in my head. I'm here. I have some technical issues sometimes with my iPad. It doesn't want to wake up and do the things that I want it to do. I think I want to hit it in the head sometimes. It's loading. And so we've been in the child, we've been talking about behaviors of the childlike behavior, behaviors of the child of God and the things that they should go on. I told you there was powerful things. I told you about the kingdom of God. The other powerful thing that as a child that we understand or we come to understand or we grow into is walking in the Spirit. And I know that may sound aloof, and you're like, well, do I walk in the Spirit? What am I doing? Well, if you're saved, you're in the Spirit. The Bible has made you a new creation of God. That's, you've been newly created. That spirit being that you now possess puts you in the Spirit. Now we want to walk those things out. We don't want to keep aligning ourselves with the flesh, our senses telling us what to do, you know, our emotions leading us. We want the Spirit to lead us. So we went through the fruit of the Spirit so that we can understand and know that those things are already available to us. We just have to call on them when we need them. You need patience. You need long-suffering. gentleness or goodness. You just call on the Spirit of God to allow that to come through. And God says he will definitely do that for you. So we have the fruit of the Spirit. And we got through all nine of the fruit of the Spirit that it talks about in Galatians. We talked about the fruit of the flesh first, but because I felt like we needed to know that some of the things that we do, even though we may not assign it to the nature of the flesh, is our carnal nature coming up and rising up against us. And we need to know that those things are what we should be putting down. We should not allow our carnal nature anywhere or near us. That's it. You say, well, how can I do that? I'm in there. I'm in the flesh. I'm in my body. My spirit's in here. The suit. You know, we call it a suit because we don't want any of its passions, any of its desires, or any of its things to come out. Now, that takes a keen eye, right? Because a lot of things you do, you think, oh, that's me. That's just my personality. Now, we talked about the Word of God being able to separate the spirit and the soul, and the sinews and the different parts of your intentions of the heart. The Word of God does that. So the Word of God can also discern between what is you, your personality, and what is not. So you need to be aware. Oh, I get angry all the time. Well, I don't know. Is angry a part of who you are, this new creation? Well, it's just part of my past. It's just who I am. Well, wait a minute. The Bible talks about angry and being angry and upset. So, you know, you need to know how to divide those things and take those. You say, why do I need to do that? Because if you don't, what we're going to get in today is how the enemy deceives you by allowing those things to keep operating in your life. The more you allow to go into your life, the more you succumb to those things that are not of God, it's a deception of the enemy to lure you out into fear and to get you away from him. And to operate in, listen to this, the Antichrist. You say, well, what? I'm not operating the Antichrist. Well, it's called the anti-anointing, against the anointing of God, against the Spirit of God who is in you. You're going to operate in sin. Sin is always against the Spirit of God. Always. And so even though we comfortably accept that we are not perfect, you know, we say, well, I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, and I fall. But yeah, we all do, and we all know that we have an advocate with the Father, and we go to him and repent and ask forgiveness for the sins that we know that we've committed so that we can get right back in right standing with him. There's a reason why he gives us those principles, so that we won't dwell in the darkness, dwell in the sin, dwell on it. And I know that sometimes when addictions happen, your flesh just charges at you and like, you're going to do this. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care if it is against the Lord. You're going to do this. Addiction forces your will into sin. But you don't want to do that. You know, we talked about how the flesh and what you will and won't do and so forth and so on. But we need the Spirit of God to break those addictions, to break those bondages. We need the anointing to destroy the yokes of the enemy. Now, because you are in the Spirit, that's perfectly available to you. We just have to call him. It won't happen overnight for some things, but I'm telling you, it will happen if you put your faith and trust in him and the Word of God. Do it like he says. Follow after him, and you will be delivered. Sometimes people get delivered with great fanfare and, oh, the Spirit of God floated on me. I floated out like a cloud and, oh, it was so wonderful. And, you know, and then other times you wake up the next morning and it's gone. You don't know how it happened. You just know it's not there anymore. I've had both experiences. And they were both assigned to the Spirit of God redeeming me, right? Helping me. Causing me to be who he wants me to be. You say, why are you talking like this, Kurt? Well, I'm trying to just give you some introduction. I know we're growing in grace, and I know every time, I hope and I pray that you're not getting tired of hearing about growing in grace. Because we're actually headed to somewhere. There is an end to growing in grace, and there is a great fanfare, if you want to say it that way, to a culmination, so to speak, to where we're headed, to what God sees you as right now. Some of us don't have that revelation. And because of that, sometimes we get into some fixes that we can't get out of because we don't have the real revelation of who we are in Christ, who God sees us as. Not who you see you are, but who God sees you, what God calls you, what God says about you. Like he said about David. He said, oh, David's a man after my own heart. You think David was out in the desert or in the shepherd's field with the sheep going, hey, I got the heart of God. God, call on me. Let me do your wedding. Oh, give it to me, God. No, he was. God picked him out. He over there hiding with the sheep. I don't know if he was hiding that. But he's over there doing what he was told to do by his father. He was tending the sheepfold with a instrument, praising and worshiping God. Remember, he was anointed on, I forget what, it, the lyre. That he was then called into Solomon's court. Remember that? To play the instrument that he was anointed on to cause the enemy, the demon that was overtaking Solomon, to push him out. Oh, not Solomon, Saul, excuse me. Push that demon out of that court because Saul was doing some bad things. Saul was relying on his own desire, his own way, his own thinking. His name means that. Saul means desire. So Saul was wrapped up in his thinking, wrapped up in his own way. And that's what caused him to lose his kingdom, his kingship. And for God to pass it on to David. So we're in the behaviors of the child of God. And the last time I spoke to you guys, I told you that I was woken up in the middle of the night and God downloaded a message to me, and I ministered a little bit on it last time, but I didn't have all of it, and today I have all of it. It's going to take me, I'll say it's 11 o'clock right now, so you guys got about, what, till about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, right? It's going to take me about 4 hours to get through all of this that he downloaded to me in that short amount of time. It took him maybe 15 minutes. I was waking out of my sleep, and the Spirit of God was talking to me, and he poured this down into my spirit, and I gave you a testimony about it. It came out of us talking about the behaviors of the child of God. We had gotten down to, children. We said, children are obedient. Oh, yeah. Children obey their parents. That's right. They do. Children are gaining understanding of the word of God. They are in the word. We got to this one that says children can be easily swayed to follow after wrong doctrines. And that's what triggered, I believe, the download. As I was studying that for that last weekend, last time I spoke, God just said, whoosh. I'm going to couple that with another behavior of a child. It says, children recognize false prophets, the spirits of the Antichrist, and spirits of error. Children do. They are swayed easily. Take that. They're easily swayed by what? Wrong doctrines. It says that in Ephesians. They toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Why are they like that? Well, because they're not settled in the word yet. And so they may hear a word that tickles their ear or that sounds good to them, and they may follow it for a season, and then they're back on the word. You can probably pick things out in your life, your journey that you've done that with. You've heard something and say, oh, man, that sounds good. Or you heard a teacher or a minister or an evangelist or a prophet or somebody that you, oh, yeah, I'm going to go. And you went out there and you said, oh, yeah, and you was talking about what he was doing, and all of a sudden something happened. He gave a false prophecy. He fell off the mantle. The pastor fell off the stepped off the end, said something crazy, or something went wrong, and you heard about the wrong thing and went, oh man, I was going for him, and you tried to to justify it, but then you got around to listen to the Spirit of God. Spirit of God say, I'm not saying all he said was wrong. I'm just saying sometimes you need to stand back and pay attention and not follow just everything you hear. Listen to the Spirit of God. He's going to lead you right. He's the one. He wants you to hear his voice. If you do this, don't take it the wrong way. He don't want you all the time going out and trying to find people on the radio or on the TV and on this type of, or on the YouTube or on the TikTok or on the Instagram or on the Facebook or people talking about. He don't always want you to be listening to those things. He wants you to be paying attention to him. I'm not saying you can't use those things for what he is saying to you, because he'll lead you in those as well. But don't always go there and go, I got to find somebody that's saying, and this is, that is not the way of God. He's in you. You already got the voice that you need. It's already there. You just need to take the time to listen. I implore you, do that first and understand the voice of God before you go to all these other things and hear all these other teachers and preachers and so forth and so on. Why? Because he wants you to know what is right for you. Not what is right for everybody else. What's right for you? What's right for your growth? How are you being led by him in the journey that you have? Now, I told you don't get upset about it. Just take it as a point of wisdom and go, I believe that's true. We shouldn't lean all of our heart on those types of technologies. You know, and they even got the one now, what is it called? The AI, which is the chat, GPT and the Gemini and the Alexa and the all kind of those things that are coming. You can ask them questions. Well, God, is God real? It'll give you an answer. Now, I've asked it that question, so I don't know what it'll say, but, you know, should we rely on that? People in the world, they probably can get some out of that to help them, lead them to where they need to be, to where they find the things of God. But we don't want to do that. So we were talking about two behaviors. The one was children can be easily swayed. And then we were on this one called children recognize false prophets, the spirits of the Antichrist, and the spirits of error. In this download that I got from God a couple years ago, my wife was working at a nursing home. At the nursing home, it was called Our Lady of the Valley. Our Lady of the Valley. I think it's called Our Lady of the Valley. It was a Catholic nursing home facility that's in Roanoke. And I don't know if I should tell on them like that. I don't need any bad things on Catholics. I don't, by saying these things, the only thing, oh, God, he's down on Catholics. No, I believe that there are some great Catholic people who believe and trust in Jesus. But she had a job there, and when she got there, you know, she was excited to have a job and working. There were 180 bed residency. There was a rehab center. There was a memory care center that these residents were a part of. And then there was a facility of nurses that worked there. The turnover at the place was horrible. I was like, how can you hire 15 to 20 nurses every week and lose 15 to 20 nurses every week? I was like, something is wrong with this place. So anyway, she got in there, was praying and so forth and so on. And as she interacted with the staff and the executive people in charge, officers that were in charge, her spirit began to cry. And they were not, even though they were in a Christian organization, I believe, they were not following after Christian principles in their own life. And they were non-caring, doing things that were illegal, not following after the protocols that they set up, treating the residents not in a right way. And this were all visually things that she witnessed. And so forth. And anyway, while she was doing praying, God gave her this word. Word came to her heart and said, these are DWIs. You remember that? DWIs. And she said, I I don't think that's in the Bible. DWI, you know, specifically. He said, it's an acronym. She said, what does it mean? Deceitful, the workers, W, of iniquity. And she was like, deceitful workers. So that sent her and I on a studying craze, if you want to put it that way. And we began to study out DWIs. And so deceitful workers of iniquity doesn't really appear in that phrase in the Bible. You could do a search in that. In the Bibles that we had, the Amplified, the New King James, it doesn't appear as a phrase, deceitful workers of iniquity. However, deceitful workers appears in there, and workers of iniquity appears in the Bible. So those are the two things that we studied and tried to figure out what's God trying to tell us. And I'm going to give you it all here now, and before we study it out, I'm going to give you the summary. It's talking about people who are in the church or who say they're in the church and who say they're saved, but their behavior and attitudes don't follow after. You say, well, what do you mean? Because all these people that she was working with, they say they were Christians and they went to church on Sunday and blah, 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 blah. But yet, on Monday, they were acting just like the devil. And I mean that, literally. I mean, you couldn't find, I was like, wait a minute. As a Christian, don't we supposed to have love for one another? As a Christian, don't we supposed to first, you know, be assistant, be supportive, be helpful, be in a good, be doing all the fruits of the Spirit, even though we have a job that requires us, you know, to work for these people and do things in the way that they set things up, right? But you are still a Christian. And remember now, as a Christian, we seek the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, kingdom of God is set up. We can only claim the place, the land, the place where we step as being in the kingdom if we are then propagating and talking about the kingdom wherever we go. We are taking the kingdom with us. So if you are in a place and you're not doing that, you're not taking the kingdom. Now, I worked in a library on campus. I started there. I worked all of my 38 years in the library. And I was saved, and I believed that I was going to take the library by storm, because I was going to go in there and do the work of the Lord. And I stepped in there, and I was quickly realizing that the only place that I had authority and permission was over my cubicle and then over my office where I was then promoted to. Man, I had the kingdom of God was all in there. They made me a director, and I was in charge and supervised probably between 20 and 25 people. And I had three different offices that I was in, that these people worked in. And when I stepped into those offices, the kingdom went with me. But when I stepped out, unless they were saved people, and they were, you know, propagating the things of Jesus, it stepped out with me. It frustrated me. And I spent a lot of time in there, Louis. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what is it going on. And of course, I talked to people. We had instances where, you know, we had witness, and there was one time I had actually started a Bible study at work, and people were coming and so forth. But it was hard. It was hard. And the thing that I began to understand once I began to get this message was that there are DWIs. There are people who are around us who are saying that they're Christian, whose actions do not follow. And we need to be aware of that, because these are the people that can lead us astray, lead us out. And I'm not saying, what are you saying, Kurt? Well, I want us to get a picture of how to recognize false prophets, spirits of the Antichrist, and spirits of error. We need to understand who these deceitful workers are who work iniquity. And you say, well, how are you aligning them with the church? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins. Anybody? Nobody? Let's find that scripture. The 10 virgins. I got it here. So I'm not your normal line upon line teacher. I don't do like your pastor. He does excellent job. So you don't need another one of him. Amen. You already got him. You need something else. So you get me today. Looking in my notes here. I'm jumping ahead of myself is what I'm doing. You know, in the Old Testament, Job was constantly being confronted by workers of iniquity. He talked about them all the time. They seem to be all around him. All you go through the Psalms, you will always see something about the workers of iniquity that he was up against, and that was trying to just conflict his life. You know, they were just in his way all the time. I'm gonna get it here in a minute. I wanna read it. If you find it, just yell it out to me. Matthew 25. I'm gonna let you preach the sermon today. Matthew 25. I'm gonna start in Amplified, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. First revelation you should see here is that all 10 of them were going to meet the bridegroom. All 10 of them were going to meet Jesus, right? So all of them knew about Jesus and knew that he was the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, thoughtless, without forethought, and 5 were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. 5 of them were the 5 that went to see Jesus, who knew he was the bridegroom. 5 of them were thoughtless, foolish, no forethought. And then there were 5 that were intelligent and prudent and wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. Now, how would you know to take extra oil? How would you know if you were supposed to take some extra oil? If you were wise, and you knew that the time of the bridegroom was not going to be so specific and that there may be some time, you'd be stocking up on some oil. I need as much as I can get because I don't know how long it's going to be for me to see the bridegroom, me to see Jesus. I need to have as much oil as possible. So they were stocking up. 5 of them didn't know that they needed to do that. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them also with their lamps. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began nodding their heads and they fell asleep. They all fell asleep. Those of you who want to believe that, you're nothing special, then here's your scripture. Yeah, see, we all just alike. We know nothing special about us. We fell asleep just like the ones that didn't have any oil. We all fell asleep. All of them who were seeking Jesus or waiting for him fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up, put their own lamps in order. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. All seeking Jesus, all knew that the bridegroom was coming. I say they were seeking Jesus, but they all knew that he was there. Shout came, they heard the shout. Notice they heard the shout. They all heard the shout. And then the foolish who didn't have any extra oil turned to the wise, hey, give me some of y'all. They noticed that the wise people, they had it stacked up in the corner. They were like, well, they had donkeys. They had the carriages. They had, you know, 18-wheeler trucks. They had full of all. They were not going to miss him because they didn't have enough oil. Right? The foolish was probably like, what y'all doing all that for? Y'all just crazy. You ever heard that? You know, y'all just, you don't need all that. Jesus is going to give us everything we need when we get there. Hear those kind of things? You don't need that. He's not going to kick us out, blah, 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 you know, whatever they say. It's crazy. Then all those virgins got up, put their lamps in order, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, there will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. The five who were prepared, the five who were intelligent, the five wise, the five who were seeking God, the five who were kept their lamps trimmed, who kept the word of God in their heart, who every day got their daily bread from the Lord, who prayed, who went to services when they needed to go, who laid hands on the sick, who did whatever God said to the five who were obedient, the five who were intelligent, wise, did those things. Later, the other virgins also came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. They call him Lord. They were calling him like they were actually submitting themselves to a person who is their Lord. Listen to this. But he replied, I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. So where are these people? They're calling him Lord, Lord. They're seeking God. They're doing things that they believe that they need to do, but they're not prepared. So they're not doing the things that God wants them to do. They're doing some other stuff. Because he says, I do not know you. Think of it. They're claiming to be Christians. They're standing up, you know, probably shouting to the top of their heads about this and that and how God does this and God does that. But yet, their heart is far from him. How are you and I going to know? That's the issue here, false prophets, right? Spirits of error, antichrist. They're with us. They said the five, they all went together to meet the bridegroom. They all laid down and fell asleep together. They all got up together. But yet, five of them were not prepared. These are our friends. Some of them are our relatives. They are crying out to God, Lord, Lord. And God is like, I don't know you. I want to know you, but I don't know you. Some of them they're boisterous, they're confident, they're strong. They're so strong that you and I start to look up to them. He's a great Christian. Oh, we should follow him. Oh, look, he got that big church over there. Oh, let's go he's over there evangelizing people. Let's go follow him. Oh, he's look at his podcast or his TikTok or whatever. You know, look what they're doing. They're doing great things. Oh, this one's written this kind of book and that kind of book. And we are looking up to them. God wants you to be aware. So how are we to determine these false prophets, these DWIs, deceitful workers of iniquity? They wouldn't call themselves that. You wouldn't call yourself that. Even if you know that, oh, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sinning bad. But you wouldn't call yourself a deceitful worker of iniquity, would you? No, you wouldn't. So therefore, those of us who are wise need to be aware. We don't want to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that's coming out of some of the other mouths. We want to be following the truth, stable in the truth, grounded in the truth, understanding the wisdom that God has given us. So what else do DWIs do? After God says, that's a strong word coming from him. And it's not you and I misbehaving them, you and I misinterpreting who they are. This is God saying to them, I don't know you. You call me Lord. In another place, it talks about how they healed the sick. We healed the sick in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And he still tells them, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. Why? We need to know that our heart is stable and stop creeping along with the creeps. They're creeps. We hear them all the time. They're in the newspaper. They're on the news. They're on TV. They're in the government. They're in the mayor's office. They're in the administration. They're on our jobs. They're our supervisors. They're directors. They're professors and educators. And they're all kinds of people. And we're like, oh, yes, let's go. But they're not following the truth. And you and I need to know that. We need to know so that we can stand away and pray, because we're in charge to pray for them. Because we hope that one day they get the light comes on and they stop doing all that crazy stuff. You know, the parable of the sower. Remember the sower? He sows the word that's sown in our heart. He said the word is sown on one place. It says it's sown on thorny ground. Thorny ground where the weeds and stuff get up and choke the word away. And one of them calls it the cares of this life, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the glamour and fanfare of the world. Choke the word. That's what's happening to them. The word is being preached. They're sitting in our seats in our churches. The word is going forth, but in their heart, they're allowing all those things, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, crapping up, stealing the word from them, and it can't get any root in them. Can't get any root in their heart. That's what's going on. DWIs. I wanted to get you this. how long is this? I think it's not that long. I think it's like 5 pages. But I wanted to share that with you, and I wanted to share this other thing about iniquity. Because, you know, why iniquity? Why workers of iniquity? Why iniquity? That's a word that usually we only hear when we talk about Bible stuff. You don't hear that word too much out in the world. People operate in iniquity, because most people don't know what it is. Well, the Greek word or the Hebrew word interpreted, it's translated lawlessness or sin, evil, right? And you say, well, why didn't it just say that instead of saying iniquity? They say iniquity because they want you to understand that iniquity is persistent, habitual sinning. Not just one time you sin and you're like, oh, I need to go to God and repent. You know, that's not iniquity. Iniquity, when they have a heart that's turned away from God, they have absolutely no reason for why they want to go to God. They'll talk about God, and they'll talk about things they know, they think they know, to make you feel like, you know, they Christians. But their heart is far from him. They're doing things all because of other stuff that's going on in their life. Iniquity. I want you to listen to this definition. Iniquity is doing things that you are not authorized by God to do, or doing things that you have not been given permission to do. That's why it's bad. Because you're like, what do you mean? I can't witness to this person. Well, you can, under the obedience of God. But if he's told you to turn away, why are you going to be disobedient to witness when he's told you to turn away? Doing things that you are not authorized to do. That's what happened to those guys who lay hands on the sick. Then they were here. I'm going to lay hands on them. They're going to get healed. Now, I don't know how they got healed. I don't know what the Spirit of God got them healed or what. I don't know, but they were. He says they were healed. He said, well, we prophesied in your name. We healed people in your name. I don't know what, because they didn't have authority or permission to do that. But somehow, that person got healed. Now, did the healing last? We don't know. We don't know if it did or not. Did it take? Was it just for a moment? Because we know that the devil has power. He does. But we are to be what? Understanding and following after God and doing things under his will and authority. That's what the word of God is all about. That's why he knew the devil was going to try to trick us. Remember, he says he comes and masquerades, or he disguises himself as an angel of light. He knew that the devil could do this. Now, and I think it's in Corinthians, it says, if we know the devil can do that, why can't his agents do that? So why can't the demons also appear to be lights? Oh, they are light. We talked about this in prayer, in Bible study. How can we distinguish the lights? If he is an angel of light, how can we say, well, is Jesus' light any different than the angels of light? Light is light. You know, I'm looking at the light, that's light. Okay, let's follow the light. But there's one caveat about light. Jesus talks about in John, he talks about being a shepherd of the sheep. You guys know that scripture? I'm going to get it here in a minute. All right, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, this is John 10, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to quit after this. I assure you, is that clock right? I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up from some other place on the stone wall, that one is a thief and a robber. So we know that even though the enemy is going to appear like a light, he didn't come to us like Jesus comes. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, the protector and provider. The doorkeeper opens the gate for this man, and the sheep hear his voice and pay attention to it. And knowing that they listen, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to pasture. When he has brought all his sheep outside, he walks on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice and recognize his call. They will never follow a stranger. It's a strange light. We don't see it as a strange light, but when we hear the voice, we go, that's a strange light. Because that voice doesn't sound like the voice that I'm used to hearing in my quiet time with God. This is how we tell. This is how we don't get led astray. We have to understand the voice of God. But we'll run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. You see those two lights? You may recognize, you say, oh man, he's talking about Jesus. But then when he starts to speak, something happens on the inside of your spirit. Something, I call it a flag. Red flag comes up. Ding. And you go, huh? He said it right. He even quoted the scripture. He quoted it right. But some said, Sherry operates in the gift of discerning of the spirits. She'll get mad at me if I tell you that. But all the time. And I go, what? I don't know. They said something, I don't know. You know, you get that little women's intuition. And I'm not saying that all women's intuition is godly, but I'm telling you, it's something God uses for you to help you. know when things ain't right. And you need to pay attention. And I'm not saying that, you know, you should just all shout it from the mountaintops and go, oh, tell everybody, blah, 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 and go running through the streets. That person's blah, blah, blah. Just keep it to yourself. Go and do your thing. You don't follow them. And if somebody else starts to do some weird stuff by following after them, you might want to give them a hint. I don't know. See, this was happening to Sherry at work, and we began to pray because, you know, she is in authority over the place where she dwells in her office space. She is in the kingdom of God, and she can propagate that. Those women were coming to her. She was praying for them. She was laying hands on them. She was doing everything that I didn't think you're supposed to do at work, but she was doing it. They were getting healed. They were getting delivered. A lady got healed of a tumor. A lady got healed of a back problem. Her husband, a lady's husband, got healed of cancer. All because she was doing what she was doing in her little spot. They were coming. Every day they were coming. Where's Miss Sherry? They were coming, first of all, because Sherry gives great hugs. Some of you probably know that already. And they grow, they come, they cry, and they wouldn't say a word. They sit down in her chair, she hug them, and then they just leave. Passing on what? The spirit anointing of God that's in her, inside of her. Doing what she believed God was telling her to do. That's all. Staying in her lane, not trying to do a whole bunch of other stuff. They hated her. They didn't like her. You said, what? They didn't like her. They did not like her. What do you mean they didn't? They did not like Miss Sherry. Why? You tell me. Why did she like? I love her. You know. So the light was being shown on their darkness. And they didn't appreciate it. They didn't like it. She worked for 10 years for a medical facility place, and that's all they did, shine light. She was shining light on their darkness, and they said, we got to keep Sherry from doing this stuff. What did she go over to the water fountain, and people meet her over there, and all of a sudden they have in church. And then we got to stop that happening. They come over to her cubicle, and, you know, all of a sudden they laughing. Now, I know some of you probably heard of this. You know, when you laugh at work, you're not doing any work, your job. You're not doing your job. Did you know that? You know, because you're laughing. You know, because you're happy and joyful, even when nobody's around, they don't like you laughing. You need to pipe down. We're going to write you up because you ain't doing your job because you're laughing. Why? Because they're unhappy. They can't do their job. They're unhappy. They can't fathom being happy doing the job that God has given them. They can't fathom it. Why is she laughing? What's going on? She can't be doing her job. Let's write her up. The most idiotic stuff I ever heard in my life. I just like, what is going on? The power of the light of God. The power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Her defusing the deceitful workers. They're deceitful because they don't even know that they're operating in the darkness that the devil has prepared. The world, listen to this, I'm gonna stop. The world is against us. Those of you who think that the world, and I wanna say one thing, and I don't mean a whole lot by it, I just want you to know, the government system is in the world. Our law-making abiding bodies is in the world. Can they follow principles of God? Yes, they can. Can they propagate the principle? Yes, they can. But remember, they are still in the world. The kingdom of God has not taken over them. Can it take over them? Yes, it can. When the members of our government begin to proclaim God, kingdom, in their own life first, it'll pass right on down into the government. And we will, as Christians, own them, or God will own them. But until that happens, remember, y'all, remember, they are in the world. They need our prayer. We should be praying for them every last one of them, because their influence is coming from deceitful workers of iniquity. They don't even know they're operating deceitful workers. They don't even think that. They think, oh, we'll do this right. I said, well, where is your heart? What is your house? What's going on? We need to, you get this from the word. God said you cannot serve both what? God and mammon. What's the mammon? Mammon is the world. Can't serve them both. You gotta serve one or the other. If you try to serve them one, both, then you become a deceitful worker of iniquity. People will begin to look at you. Oh, he goes to church. Oh, look at him, he's over there. But if you're doing the serving of the mammon, they're going to think that you, okay. So they're going to say, oh, let's follow and do what he does. And he's doing all kinds of stuff in the world, right? He's being deceitful. He doesn't think he is, but he is. And we need to be aware that that's what's going on. False prophets, those are strong words, false prophets, spirits of error. You know, that's strong. Antichrist, those are strong terms in the Bible. And nobody considers themselves that. Why would you consider yourself to be the Antichrist? If you are against the anointing of God, there are places who are against the Spirit of God moving, who are against the speaking of tongues, who are against the baptism in the Holy Spirit, who are against giving, who are against gifts of the Holy Spirit, who are against it. There are places that don't propagate those things, who say those things are passed away. They are anti-anointing, anti-Christ. Christ means the anointed one. And they are anti the anointed one. And we just like, oh, it's okay. It's okay that they're like that. It's not okay. I don't want you to follow after them. I don't want us to go out and start, you know, taking shotguns and preaching to them and all that kind of stuff, because that's not what God wants us to do. But, you know, because it'll make you mad when you find out that not everybody is up as you are on the Word of God. And this is where we need to be. Start taking authority. You say, well, it's interesting that this behavior is something that's found at the child of God stage. We haven't got to the young man or the spiritual maturity. It seems like this should be like a maturity stage where you begin to understand blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. But is it the child of God stage that you and I need to start perking up and realizing that you and I are for God? And all you have to say, well, I'm for God, and I need to be for him whatever situation comes up. I want to stand on the side that God is standing on. So if you don't do anything but that, you should be okay. What? I don't understand that. I don't understand what he's saying. I think I understand what he's saying, but even though what he's saying is maybe okay, I'm still on the side of God. I'm still going to go with God. I'm still going to go with God's telling me. I'm still going to be reading my word and going, oh, this is what the word of God says to me. It may not have the full understanding of all the stuff that you're hearing, but it is stable on what you're hearing from God. And that's where you want to be. You want to be with God. I don't have to be hearing new stuff. You know, the Bible talks about people wanting to have their ears tickled by the doctrines and words and so forth and so on. It talks about people like that. Why you want to hear a new? I want to hear a new thing. I want to do a new thing. Let's just do the stuff that's in here. We ain't done this stuff yet. Why are we going to do new stuff? Well, let's do this. Let's get ourselves fully operating in all that's in the word before we start saying, oh, God, give us a new thing. All right, so this did not go the way I thought it was going to go. I believe I have delivered to you what he delivered to me, and that you have ample information to study your word and to go out and hear what God is saying, because we all need to grow, and we're all going to be led by whoever, you know, what God tells us to do, and be put. I have some folks that I talk to, minister to, who they're deceived, but they don't know it yet. It comes out of their mouth. The last time I talked to them, I said, well, I hear what you're saying, but I thought God was supposed to give us abundant life. I thought God was the one that we were supposed to be healing and putting all of our trust in. Why are you putting your trust in this? You know, I didn't understand it. I said, you're a Christian, but you're going to trust this and leave God out? Now, they come back, well, you know, I trust God too. I said, so you're trusting this and you're trusting God. And you're like, well, I just have an issue with this. Is that what God's saying? Is that what he's saying to you? And, you know, of course, they say, oh, yeah, God's saying blah, 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 blah. You know, they say all that kind of stuff. And I, the only way we can stay together is I just keep shining the light, bringing the truth. Got to follow after Jesus. You got to keep him first. Got to keep, go ahead, follow that other person, do what they say, whatever the case, but you got to put God first in your life. God knows when you do. He knows when you're following him. He knows when you slipped off the back. He said, what are you doing down there? You're supposed to come on up here with me now. You can slip down. Come on back. He'll pull us back on up because we need to be there. Amen? So remember, child of God, deceitful workers of iniquity. Deceitful workers and then workers of iniquity. They don't believe it, but the Bible proves it out. It's a shocking thing. It shocked me when I read the 10 virgins and began to understand that parable. And I was like, oh, my God. And then, of course, you know, he always said, you know, they healed in my name, da-da-da-da-da-da. Remember the time with the servant that did all the stuff that Jesus wanted him to do? You ministered to me. You brought food to me. You fed me. And then the child of God went, when did I do that, Lord? And he said, whenever you've done it to the least of these, my brethren. It's one of those kind of things, you know, that's happening. You're doing it, and you don't know you're doing it. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. He's doing it for us. He wants every last one of us to pick the right choice, to make the right choice, and that is not to follow after people who seemingly have their stuff together, but they don't from their heart. Only way you can know is in your heart. Sometimes you won't know by their actions. Sometimes you won't know, you know, when you're looking at them or seeing them, but you'll get that, what I said, you'll get that flag that says, okay, maybe they are doing okay, and maybe people like them and blah, 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 but God's giving me, my heart says, okay, you stand still. You stand still. Amen? Can you, I don't know that some of you are born and go, I don't know, I don't know if that happens. Did that happen to me? I don't know. All right, so this is what we're going to do. I want you to stand up, and I'm going to pray a prayer as we end the service here, and I know it's been a little long, and I went a little longer than I wanted to, and I didn't go longer than the Spirit of God wanted me to, but I went longer than I wanted to. But anyway, I want you to agree with me in prayer that we will perceive and understand how God is using us and growing us. And that going forward, we're going to start listening. We're going to make a purpose for intent. We're going to make a demarcation in the spirit realm. We're going to put our foot down, and we're going to say, God, I want to hear you and know your voice. God, I want you to help me to perceive when I've stepped off of the runway, stepped off of the journey that you've called me to. Father, I want you to allow me to abide with you and you with me. Father, I want you to hear me when I call and me to hear you when you speak to me. Thank you, Lord God, that as I open my word on mornings or afternoons or evenings or wherever I receive my daily bread from you, thank you, Father, that you speak, Father God, earnestly to me. Help me, Father God. Grow me, Father, past the child stage, into young men, young adult stage, into spiritual maturity, Lord. I want to know all that I can know at this particular time and point in my life. I want you to direct me, Father God, not only for myself, Father God, but those who hear me, those, Father God, who you allow me to speak to, those who you, Father God, lead me to witness to, Father God, that the voice of your heart, Father God, Father, thunders through, Father, my very presence, Father God, that thunders, Father, through my actions, thunders, Father God, through all that I say and do. Father God, you, Father, will encompass them and me, Father God, as the witness of the Spirit of God, Father, goes forth in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that everyone here under the sound of my voice, Father God, are hearing, Father, these words and perceiving, Lord God, your goodness in Jesus' name, that you're breaking the bonds of the enemy and destroying the works of the enemy and causing the darkness, Father God, to be released over their lives in Jesus' name. That they're stepping out, Father God, from under the world's views, Father God, from under the world's torment, from under the world's, Father God, deception, into, Father God, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God, for it. We bless you, Father God. Our lives won't be the same today when we leave this place as they were when we came in. We thank you, Father God, we are your children, and we shall proclaim and declare from this day forward, Father God, to be like you in every circumstance of our life, over every circumstance, in Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you for it, Lord. It's nothing but your word can do this. Nothing but your spirit can do this. Nothing but you, Lord God, can do this. And we are honoring and bowing down, Father God, to you in Jesus' name. Help us, Father God, as we leave this place. Bring us, Father, again, Father God, to commune with you. And, Father, take us wherever you desire us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.